You know, I know that this is Mother's Day, and it don't come around but once a year, but I think we need to look at it, and we need to think about the mothers 365 days a year. Because really, we'll come down to right and really think about it and meditate on it. If it wasn't for the mothers, we wouldn't be here. In which I know Father's Day coming up, and it's going to be the same way with the fathers also. But you know, there's something about mothers that has an instinct that the fathers do not have. And y'all know what I've said about the ladies, the mothers, and everything. But I believe the Lord Jesus Christ, and I believe God the Father, when he, over there in the book of Genesis, where it says over in the book of Genesis, where he took the rib of Adam there, and that's when he became, and that's when he formed woman. Now see, that's where, you know, I know the Word of God speaks about man, talking about prayer and everything, talking about man, but it's also speaking about woman. And it's because of what he done there in Genesis, in the garden there, I mean right before the garden, but the thing about the Lord, he knew that Adam could not live alone. He also knew that Brother Bill couldn't live alone. He also believed that I couldn't live alone. So that's the reason he has created the helpmate for the men, and for the men vice versa, and for the wives and everything. But we need to realize also it come from God. It did not come from man. Man did not, if it was up to man, yeah, man probably would never have created Eve. Because the way the world looks at it now, they don't look at Adam and Eve. They want to look at Adam and Steve. Well, with Adam and Steve, you cannot multiply. You cannot produce. So that's the reason God had his hand in it. That's the reason God, he done it. It's because God wanted us to have children. He wanted, I believe God, he wanted more children than what we believe. Because what did he do? He died. He went to his son and he told his son there in heaven there. He said, son, I want you to go to earth. And I got a reason for you going to earth. And you will learn that reason when you get there. And he did. He learned the reason that he was there. He was there to minister to the people, all types of people. Why? Because, see, they was God's children. You know, we use the word predestination. Some people don't like that word, predestined. But you know, if you really come to think about it, you have to go all the way back to the book of Genesis. Really, you have to go back really further than that. Because, see, in God's mind, and I'm not trying to read God's mind, I'm just trying to point out some things that I believe that this is what God was thinking about. When God created man, when he created Adam there, he knew that Adam was going to need a helpmate. So he created Eve through the rib of Adam. They was both predestined. Adam was predestined not for hell, but Adam, the first Adam, he was predestined for heaven. He was predestined for everything that God had there. And then when he created Eve, Eve was predestined for there also. But then sin come on the scene. What was that sin? That sin was about when God told them not to eat of that forbidden fruit. And they thought that they could go on and they could do it, and you know, it wouldn't hurt God that bad. And God would not hold it against them. Well, God didn't hold it against them. They held it against their own selves is the reason that they had that. Said in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 6, it says, "And when the woman Eve saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband, and he did also eat." But here in the book of Proverbs, it says right here in chapter 8, in the book of Proverbs, verse 32, it says, "Now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways." He'd already told Adam and Eve the same thing, and he will bless them if they would just obey him and keep his ways and to keep his thoughts. But he says in verse 33, here is instruction, and be wise and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me. Other words, he said, blessed is the woman. And I'm gonna take that man, I'm gonna replace it with woman, because I think that's who he's speaking about right here. But blessed is the woman that heareth me and watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my door. The wife of the husband is waiting beside the doorpost of the home where they live at. What are they waiting for? They're waiting for them to hear maybe the automobile pull up, or somebody come up on the steps and up on the porch and everything, and they can hear the footsteps of them. They can go and they can open that door for the husband that has labored all day. But blessed is the woman that has also worked all day. Because, you know, we don't really, Brother Bill, I can't speak to nobody but me and you this morning, because really right now, because there's no other men in here. But really, we really don't appreciate our wives. We do not appreciate the ladies that we have today. Why? They work really harder than we work. They labor more than we labor. Oh yeah, I could go to Goodyear and I could get a job building tires or something like that, and I could work 12 hours a day. But 12 hours a day at Goodyear building tires is nothing compared to what the wife does, and what the mother does for the children. Some had evil ambition. We have people out here today, they want this and they want that, but really they don't think about really what they really are asking for. They're asking for the ambition and the things that the devil has laid on their heart. And they say, no, that ain't me. The devil ain't got anything to do with it. I'll tell you what, if it's not pleasing to God, the devil has all to do with it. Anything that we must do as Christians, as born again believers, must please God first. Must please God first. You know, Delilah, she had an ambition. She wanted the man Samson to be a prisoner. She submitted to him and said she loved him until he poured out his heart and told the story of his power. She made him a slave. Right there, that tells me one thing. That when two people are unequally yoked together, the one that's not a Christian, they'll end up getting the Christian out of God's hands and away from God's things and away from God's thoughts. They won't come to church no more. Why? Well, I love my husband. I just don't want to leave him all the time, you know. He won't come to church with me. I just don't want to leave him all the time. So he knows. He knows that. He knows all of that. He knows that you'll give up anything that you got to be there with him. But there's always a but to it. But will the man give up what he's got for his wife, for his helpmate? Will he give up the ambitions that he has for really the true ambition that their wives have? I just don't believe that there is a woman, lady, or whatever, that gives birth that does not even think about God one time. I believe they do. They may say that they don't. They may curse God and everything. But they know where that child come from. It comes from above. And until the parents, both parents, I'm talking about the father and the mother, both, until they realize that together, it will never be a home. It will never be a home. But they got to realize that together. There's another picture that is worthy to be spoken about for the individuals that has a family. And that one, I believe, is Hannah. It says, the children was dedicated to God. That's one thing that Hannah does. She wanted to dedicate her children to God. She didn't want to dedicate her children to a husband or to herself. She wanted to dedicate her children to God first of all. And then after that, in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 27, verse 28. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. He shall be lent to the Lord. What I believe that that's speaking about also is where the woman right here said, my son, my children is going to be lent to the Lord. And as they are being lent to the Lord, I'm going to pray for them. I don't understand the society that we live in today. I really don't. When the mother and the father, yeah, they may have two or three kids, but yet, and they will tell somebody else if the kids are not there, well, do you love your kids? Yeah, I love my kids. Yeah. Where are they at? Oh, well, they're supposed to be down at Johnny's. Supposed to be over to Catherine's. Supposed to be over here, over there. Supposed to be? They need to have it in their heart that all they have to do is pick up the phone and call the parents of the one that they're supposed to be at, and 9 times out of 10 today, they're not there. Why? I'll tell you the reason why. Because the children, they learn from the individual that they look to. And today, I hate saying this, I really do. But children today just soon as lie to the parents just because of what they want to do. And a whole lot of times the parents will just let it go. They won't correct them. God's word said, talking about your child, you spare the rod, you're going to spoil that child. And I know the reason society's in the shape it's in because the government's got involved in on that. But if I got a child living under my roof, they're going to do what I say do. Why? Because I'm furnishing them food. I'm furnishing the place that they live. I'm furnishing them clothes. And if they want to do what they want to do, then they can start out giving me $75 a month for board. And they can start paying some on their clothes. And they can start giving me some money to buy groceries. But see, they come back and say, Mama, Daddy, you know, I ain't got no job. I don't have any money to do that. Well, get you a job. If you want to do what you want to do, get your job. And then you can pay for these things. But see today, thank you. The children today, I'm going to say this because I don't even have any of my notes or anything. The children today believe when they get to the age of 18 or 19, 20 years old, and then they go ahead and they get married. They believe that when they get married, that the first house that they move into, that they
is supposed to move in to the home that's better than what the parents has got. They're supposed to have more than what the parents has got. And here it is, the parents has worked. They've worked 40, 50 years, all the life and everything, to accumulate what they got. But see, they don't want to work and accumulate for nothing. And I hate to say that. Now, I'm not saying all the young people are like that. They're not. We do have some good young people. But I'll say this. I believe all the good young people is in church. You may disagree with me on that. That's okay. But I believe, really. Because, see, that's where you get your standards from. That's where the parents get their standards from. They get it from the church. They get it from the Lord. They get it from Scripture. I don't need no psychiatrist to go and tell me that what I'm doing, I'm doing either right or if I'm doing wrong towards my child. Hey, if I got to do that, then what I'm going to do, I'm going to go to the main doctor. And I'm going to go to God because he's a great physician. And not only that, he has his own PA or PCA, what you want to call them today. But no, he has his own there that he can depend on. He can leave the people in control. He can leave him in control to the people that he won't have to worry about if they're going to get the right diagnosis. They ain't going to have to worry about if they get the right prescription. Why? Because, see, his son has his father at his best interest. He wants to do everything he can to please the father. And talking about that pleasing. And I'm not saying that any of your children are like this or anything. But there are children I hear. They don't want to please the parents. Sometimes the parents itself don't want to please them. But it's a two-way street. They're human beings just like you are. And just like I am. And they need of something. Some showed kindness to others. And that was talking about Dorcas in Acts chapter 9 and verse 39. It says this, all the widows stood by him weeping and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with him. You know, it's a shame that the preachers have to get up and preach on something that they should not even have to preach about. They should not even have to preach about faithfulness. They should not even have to preach about tithing. They should not even pray about going out and soul winning. They should not have to pray for them things. Why? Because that's commanded. That's commanded of God. And that's one thing that we don't have to pray for. Anything that God has put his approval on and is a command of God, then it does not deserve prayer.
We don't have to pray for, because God has also, he's already given me the command to do that. He's already given me the command to be faithful to him. He's already given me the command to be faithful to the house of God. He's already given me the command to be faithful unto him. He's also given me the command to study and to believe in the word of God, and not some what some other man has written. That's what he has given me. I don't need to look to somebody else. I don't have to go to no psychiatrist. I don't have to go to no other doctor to give me my diagnosis or whatever. I know what my diagnosis is. You do too. They do too. Everybody knows what their diagnosis is. And a whole lot of time, my diagnosis is that I just will not do what God says to do. I'm being honest with you. I just will not do what God says to do. Well, see, then God, when God diagnoses me, and what he does, he don't do it. He don't even send his PA. He don't even see in Jesus Christ. Only thing he does, he speaks from heaven above. And he speaks to the one that lives within me. He speaks to my comforter. He speaks to the Holy Spirit that lives within me. And he says, you need to let him know what's right and what's wrong. I know what my Lord wants, because the Bible tells me. So it's not, that's something that I don't have to pray for. God's word commands me to do that. And I learned that years ago, there's some things that you don't have to pray about. Because it's in God's word. See, God has already prayed for us. God prays for us every day. It says over in the book of Luke, I believe it is, where Jesus is speaking to Peter, Simon Peter, that, and he's telling Simon, he says, Simon, I know that the devil, he wants you, and he's going to sift you as wheat. And the reason he wants to sift you, because he wants to sift you away from the word of God. He wants to sift you away from me. But it says, Simon, I'm praying for thee. Now, somebody would say, well, why would Jesus say, I'm praying for thee? When we say that we should not have to go to God in prayer. See, right then when Jesus is speaking to that, the devil, he was trying to steal Simon Peter away from the Lord. Now, I tell you this much. I believe when we need to pray for people, it's when they get away from God. When they get out of the house of God, we need to pray for them. That God will reel them back in. God will reel them back in. But I'm so thankful that we have mothers still today, is still teaching the children. Even the children might get up in age to where they end up having a family or whatever. The mother still is teaching them. Teaching them. You know, have someone here that I haven't even spoke about really betrayed her father and her brothers. And that is Rebecca. She betrayed the father and the brothers. Now, I mean, I know you can use that as far as where to speak it biblically and everything. But what I believe that we can get out of that one little phrase there about Rebecca. She betrayed God, the Father. And she betrayed her brother, Jesus Christ. Have I betrayed him this week? I really don't know. I hope and pray I haven't. But if I have, I know the Holy Spirit's going to reveal it to me to where I can ask the Father to forgive me for that. And then the Father's going to turn back around to me, and I love it. He said, "What sin are you talking about?" I love that song. I don't forget who put it out. But that song, it speaks a whole lot. What sin are you talking about? That's speaking of the Father. What sin are you talking about? You know, Rebecca, she betrayed all her loved ones. And she led Jacob to the place that he would also betray the father and his son. That's one thing that I hope and pray for, really. Now, I think that we need to pray. This is one thing that we need to pray for. We need to pray that we, as the people of God at Faith Baptist Church, will try our very best to stay in the center of His will. And we can do that. We can do that. But the Bible has spoken of wicked women in the Bible. Wicked people. We have some wicked people out here today. And the individuals that I'm, the ones that I'm most scared of, and I'm scared of them, is the one that comes in and goes to church and pretends to be a Christian. They're the one that scares me. I know not who they may be, but God does. And it scares me. Why? Because they're sitting in the house of the Lord, and they're just waiting. The devil is just waiting for that moment to come when he can open up the crack in somebody's life. My prayer is that I hope and pray with everything in me that we as people will stay true to God as we stay true to God. And God will bless us. I have no problem with that. I have no doubt about it. That we serve a God of blessings. But you know, me and Bill was talking the other day on the phone about some things and what we could maybe do to kind of help promote the church. I'm not talking about a radio station or having bingo or something like that in the church or something like that and have eatings, and every time we turn around we've got an eating to promote it. To promote the church. But I believe that Brother Bill come up with it's a good idea. The best one I've heard yet. What about putting the church, have just the one page or whatever, in promoting Faith Baptist Church on Facebook? Hey, everybody else uses Facebook for everything else. Why can't we promote God? We need to promote God more than we do. It ain't going to cost us a dime. Right at first. It may cost us maybe $25 at the end of the month or something like that. Depending on how many individuals click on. But see, the thing about it is, it's just not that we have one or two, or just maybe me and Bill involved in it. We have the people. You that are here, you can get involved. You can get involved. Like, we're going to try something this year. And I hadn't tried it, but Brother Bill mentioned it, and I think we could try it and see how it goes for Jubilee. Have it just for that. Or just promoting God's work through the Jubilee. And we might be surprised in how many people will come out. And if there's nothing but, if we don't reach but one individual, if one individual gets saved, or if one individual that is brought back into the flock, I think it's worth it all. And I know there's people like here say, well, no, we don't need to do that. We don't need to put on our Facebook and everything and all that. Well, I'll tell you what. If that's the case, then what we got to do is God, we got to say, God, why did you create Facebook? Why did you create the internet? See, God give the people the ability to do that. I don't have the ability to where I can go out here and create a new company. And with the understanding that I have, and I'm going to close with this, I promise. I was telling Brother Bill, the first time I've ever heard anything at all about Facebook, I looked up the individual that started it. You know where he started at? In his basement. It was just him. Started in his basement. He didn't really know what he was even trying to get. He was trying to start something where maybe he could start a business. He was in his early teens when he created. He didn't even go to college. He didn't have to. He learned everything he had
on the internet and reading books and stuff like that. Now the man, about, what is it, about 20 years, 25 years, something like that, I don't know. And it may be, I don't know, it don't make no difference if it's 40 years. But the boy that created Facebook is worth up in the hundreds of billions of dollars. I mean, I'm talking about, I'm not using the word thousands or millions. I'm talking about the billions, B. And he put it out there for us to use. But God gave him the ability to put it there, where this individual could offer it to us to use. And it don't cost us a dime. You can use it all day long if you want to. And don't cost you a dime. Not unless you want to kind of go into it and start promoting a business or something like that. Then yeah, you're gonna have to pay something then. Anytime somebody hits, anybody logs on and hits your page or whatever. And I think Brother Bill was telling me, I think they charge what, 25 cents. 25 cents is not much when you're talking about trying to get God's word out there. Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day. Now, God, I pray, Father, as we dismiss from here, Father, as we go home, Father, my prayers today, Lord Jesus, every mother that is represented here this morning, Father, Lord, we just pray, God, that you'll give them a day, Father, that they will never forget. And Father, I'm not speaking about the day that they won't forget about maybe something breaking down or something. I'm talking about the day that they'll never forget because of your blessings. And Father, we pray for the families, the family gets together today. We pray as they're sitting at the table, as they're eating, as they are, whatever they may be doing this afternoon. My prayer is that you will take these individuals that's here, the mothers that's here, that you will give the mothers, each and every one of them, a special word that they may say to the family. They can say to the family, I'm your mother, and I love you with all my heart. Father, we thank you for what you're going to do today. And Father, we pray, Lord Jesus, you'll be back with us the next appointed time, which is going to be Wednesday evening. Father, we thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Amen.